Thank you, Dr. Morgan. As you stated, my name is Scott Stanislav. I am currently a master's student at Texas A&M University. And today I'll be presenting to you the effect of soil-specific seeding rates on water stress and cotton yield. I'd first like to thank the co-authors slash investigators for this project, Drs. Christine Morgan and Tom Cawthorn from Soil and Crop Sciences Department at Texas A&M University, Dr. Alex Thomason from the Agriculture, Oil, and Biological Engineering Department at Texas A&M, Dr. Rishu Sui from the USDA Cotton Ginning Laboratory, and Dr. Eric E.K. from the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute in Lubbock. So the idea for this project came about through a previous project that I conducted as an undergraduate. And what that project looked at was the effect of different soil types on cotton lint quality and yield under both dry land and irrigated conditions. And this was in 2006 and 2007. 2006 was a very dry year. 2007 was a very wet year for the College Station area. And what that first graph shows that as the water holding capacity of our soil increases, during the dry year, we saw differences in length. And in the wet year, we didn't. And if we were to look at strength and uniformity as well, they follow just about the same exact trend. And if you look at these two pictures on the bottom, this was in the same field in the same year, just a different area. And I'm actually standing up here, and as you can tell, I'm a pretty tall guy. So there are huge variations in plant growth habits across these fields. And so what we thought was, if we lower our seeding rates, can we improve our lint quality or maximize our lint quality in some of the more drought-stressed soils and also achieve our yield goals? So our overall hypothesis was that lower seeding rates in our drought-stressed soils can reach yield potential and premium lint quality, with our project objectives being to quantify the effectiveness of reduced seeding rates on cotton lint yield and quality, and also determine a relationship between plant available water, seeding rate, and cotton lint yield and quality. So here we have an outline of our experimental design. Kind of bear with me here, it's a little bit different than most. You can't really go with just a regular randomized complete block when you're dealing with soil variability. You have to go where that is. And so these are the two fields. In 2008, it was a 50-acre field we used, and in 2009, it was a 75-acre field. These are both under center pivot irrigation, cotton corn rotation. And what we used to quantify our soil variability was soil electrical conductivity measurements. Those are classified into three zones using an unsupervised fuzzy k-means classification. And when I talk about the three electrical conductivity zones, just think of three different soil types. So we see that here on the map. And what we did was we basically took our three seeding rates that we used in 2008, which were 30, 40, and 50,000 seeds per acre, and we planted them across the field here in 16-row strips randomly. We then selected four replications or four measurement points in each seeding rate and in each electrical conductivity zone. So in 2008, we had 36 measurement locations, and in 2009, in this other field, we had 48 measurement locations due to the fact that we actually added a lower seeding rate for that year. So come planting time, we planted our variety, which was Delta Pine 164, into 30-inch rows. We then soil sampled for our particle size analysis and our installation of our neutron access tubes. We then took soil moisture measurements using a neutron probe on a weekly basis down to a depth of 120 centimeters. And then at the end of the year, we harvested 1/1000th of an acre around each of our measurement sites for our yield and quality measurements. And then once we had our particle size analysis done, when we knew what our soil textures were, we looked at those and we took a range, and it ranged from 7% clay all the way up to 72% clay. And that's some of the variation that we actually saw within these fields with different depths. And we took those and we got plant available water using thermocouple psychrometer at 15 bar. And with those numbers, we converted those to a volumetric by clay content basis. And so we then used linear regression, our linear regression equation, and put that back with all of our other soil samples that we didn't run for thermocouple psychrometer to basically get our plant available water for all of our soil samples. Some of the other methods that we, or some measurements that we took were stand counts. We did Kottman data on this. We took, or our quality measurements were HVI and APHIS, but I'm only gonna talk about the HVI. So first off, just to look at some of the different soil properties that we had in both of these fields. They're divided up into our three EC zones, or soil types, 1, 2, and 3. We see for 2008, the clay contents range from 20 to 48% on average across those zones. 2009, 16 to 53%. So large variation in clay content across these fields. Our water holding capacity in 2008 ranged from, or which is our field capacity of our soils, ranged from 313 millimeters up to 482. And then in 2009, it ranged from 278 to 475 millimeters of water. So once again, large variation in clay content, large variation in water holding capacity or the field capacity of our soils. Then when we got our plant available water data, we see that in 2008, it ranges from 220 millimeters up to 234 millimeters of water. And in 2009, it ranged from 194 to 216. So while we have big variations in clay content and water holding capacity, we don't see near as much variation with our plant available water. And then this graph on the bottom, which is showing water holding capacity on our y-axis and our soil electrical conductivity values, or what our instrument gave us when we were making that map. What this is telling us is basically our electrical conductivity measurements are responding to our water holding capacity, which also responds to our clay content. So what we did with our plant available water data is that we tried to create an index, and that's denoted here on our y-axis, and it goes from 1 on down to all the way down to 0 if it were to get there. And think of 1 as 100%. So that's 100% of the plant available water is in the profile at that particular point. We have this then divided into days after planting for both years, and then into our three EC zones or soil types, 1, 2, and 3, and then our seeding rates. So in each of these measurement, or each of these points that are on this graph, represents one of the days that we took our Neutron Pro measurement, and then we converted it into this plant available water index. So for 2008, if we look at it, we can see that EC zones or soils 1 and 2 really seem to act similarly when it comes to plant available water used, or just the trend that it takes, while our soil 3, or which is our highest clay content, seems to lag behind and then take a downward trend. And if we look at 2009, it doesn't look quite as pretty. Our, once again though, EC zone 1 and 2 seem to act somewhat similar, and EC zone 3 actually kind of follows that same trend where it lags behind early on in the year and then takes its downward trend. These points above 1 being due to the fact that we had to take measurements right after we had to shut off the irrigation. In the past, I was the only person using this site for research, so I didn't have to fight to water. And whenever there was someone in the other field, they needed it, so we had to go off of the schedule that way. But it's also interesting to look and see that with our last measurement that we took in both years, and this last measurement that we took was normally about 2 weeks after cutout. And we see that the amount of plant available water that is still left in our soil profiles around 40%. So here's some of the raw data, just looking at lint yield, which is on our y-axis. And then in the first graph here, we have water holding capacity in millimeters. On the second graph, we have plant available water data in millimeters, divided into 2008 and 2009 without any regards to the seeding rates. So for the water holding capacity by lint yield, we see that there's somewhat of an upward trend as water holding capacity increases of the soil. Our lint yield is also increasing. Now, the interesting thing is, if we look over to plant available water, once we hit a threshold of about 180 millimeters or so of plant available water, there really is no reaction to that in lint yield, telling us that there is something else there that is influencing our yield once we get past that point. Now, lint yield, once again, now this is broken down into our three electrical conductivity zones, or our three different soils, and it's also subdivided down into our seeding rates that we used. Now, for 2008, if you look at the general trend, you see as soil electrical conductivity zone increases, our lint yield is increasing, with a few points here in our EC zone 1 and 3 where the lower seeding rates actually out yielded our higher ones. There wasn't a significant effect though with that. And now in 2009, we see that also it's somewhat following that same trend, that as electrical conductivity zone is increasing, our lint yield is also increasing, with once again some of the lower seeding rates, as low as 20,000 seeds per acre, actually out yielding the higher ones. So now for lint quality, in this case we're just showing Micronair. Once again, it's divided into our three EC zones, subdivided into our seeding rates and by year. And basically, if we look at 2008, we saw differences in Micronair by EC zone or soil type, but not by seeding rate. Now in 2008, the only HBI quality parameter that wasn't affected by EC zone was fiber elongation. And in 2009, if we look at Micronair once again, it was significantly affected by EC zone or soil type, but not seeding rate. And for 2009, all five of the HVI quality parameters were affected by the EC zone or the soil type. And in both years of the study, 2008 and 2009, there was no significant differences in any of the fiber quality parameters when it came to the different seeding rates. So a quick summary, our EC measurements that we took mapped our different soil textures and our water holding capacities. Our soil water use was different in our highest EC zone, and we saw that through our plant available water index. Our seeding rates did not influence the amount of the soil water used. Now our plant available water did not influence our yield, although lint yield increased as our EC zones or our soil types changed and our water holding capacity increased, telling us that there's some other factor that was influencing our yield in those three different soil types. And also, our HVI quality parameters were only affected by EC zones and not seeding rates. Which kind of leads us back to our overall hypothesis of lower seeding rates in drought-stressed soils can reach yield potential and premium lint quality. Well, maybe they weren't drought-stressed soils, considering all of our plant available water data that we got back shows that that regardless of those three varying soil types, the plant available water is all around the same. With our conclusions being that reduced seeding rates did not affect cotton lint yield or quality, and that we found no relationship between plant available water, seeding rate, and cotton lint yield and quality. Which leads to some of the future research of why this happened. I think it would be good to conduct this type of research on a dry land cropping system. I think a uniform irrigation of the same amount over that entire area, regardless of how variable the soils were, I think it kind of averaged all of our numbers out a little bit, or also under deficit irrigation. And also maybe investigate other physiological responses such as ET, soil temperature, leaf temperature, or leaf area index, which we actually tried to take a look at in 2008 using the LAI 2000 by LICOR. And it was kind of difficult to get good readings in cotton with that. But the readings that we did get, I ran those through some statistical software, and there were no significant differences in our LAI. So that kind of bothered me. That's why we stopped using it, because we didn't think it was very confident. So maybe another way of measuring leaf area index other than that LAI 2000. I'd like to thank the Soil Science Research Group for assistance through this experiment, and also the Texas Cropping Systems Initiative for funding. And I'll be willing to entertain any questions. Dr. Froman?
Did you collect cotton man data?
Yes, sir.
What did you actually collect?
Well, we collect square man data and bowl man as well, nodes above white flower. And the lower seeding rates did delay cutout.
Scott, you said there was still plant available water present or available to the plant.
Yes, sir.
Did you guys assume a certain depth that that water was available, or how did you calculate that, I guess is what I'm getting at?
With the plant available water data? Well, like with, we had those samples that we got our plant available water data on. And like I said, we converted that to volumetrics so we could convert it back to what we got when we were taking measurements with the neutron probe. And since we took neutron probe measurements every 20 centimeter at every 20 centimeter increment, we basically had that volumetric, and then we had plant available water at every 20 centimeter depth. And so, and then we averaged that out for our overall plant available water.
I guess what I was thinking, are you
assuming, thinking about rooting depth?
Assuming a certain rooting depth.
Yes, and I guess I should have said that. Rooting depth, we looked at rooting depth, and it was getting almost down to that 120 centimeter depth.
So you assumed 120 centimeters.
Right,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions?
I have a question. There's something interesting you show there, that the higher plant population, the decline in available soil water was less, and it was delayed compared to the lower plant population.
This was in a specific soil type or in general?
You were showing the progression of available soil water through time,
mm-hmm.
at the different planting densities.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Which is an indication of, well, I'm about to question you, but I'm going to say, the amount of water used by those in the higher population is lower than the low plant population.
Okay.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, probably due to more competition interplant.
Right, right, right.
Didn't affect you.
No.
All right. Any other questions? All right, let's thank Scott.